Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I'm very touched by the readings today, but I also want to share with all of you that this would have been the day of my mother's birthday. And so I remember it, even though she has died some years ago. She would be 111 years old if she had lived to today. So I just honor her and thank her for all she has been for me. So let's take a look now at the opening prayer here for today. This is the feast of Saints Marcellinus and Peter. And the prayer reads, O God, who surround us with protection through the glorious confession of the martyrs, Saints Marcellinus and Peter, grant that we may profit by imitating them and be upheld by their prayer. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So let's take a look now at the first reading for today. Book of Tobit, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11a, and then 16 to 17a. Book of Tobit, chapter 3. Grief-stricken in spirit, I, Tobit, groaned and wept aloud. And then with sobs I began to pray, You are righteous, O Lord, and all your deeds are just. All your ways are mercy and truth. You are the judge of the world, and now, O Lord, may you be mindful of me, and look with favor upon me. Punish me not for my sins, nor for my inadvertent offenses, nor for those of my ancestors. We sinned against you and disobeyed your commandments. So you handed us over to plundering, exile, and death, until you made us the talk and reproach of all the nations among whom you had dispersed us. Yes, your judgments are many and true in dealing with me and my sins and those of my ancestors as we deserve. For we have not kept your commandments, nor have we trodden the paths of truth before you. So now, deal with me as you please. Command my life breath to be taken from me, that I may go from the face of the earth into dust. It is better for me to die than to live. I have heard insulting calumnies, and I am overwhelmed with grief. Lord, command me to be delivered from such anguish. Let me go to the everlasting abode. Lord, refuse me not, for it is better for me to die than to endure so much misery in life and to hear these insults. On the same day, at Ecbatana in Media, it so happened that Raguel's daughter, Sarah, also had to listen to abuse from one of her father's maids, for she had been married to 7 husbands, but the wicked demon Asmodeus killed them off before they could have intercourse with her, as it is prescribed for wives. So the maid said to her, You are the one who strangles your husbands. Look at you, you have already been married 7 times, and you have had no joy with any one of your husbands. But why do you beat us? Is it on account of your 7 husbands, because they are dead? May we never see a son or daughter of yours. The girl was deeply saddened that day. She went into an upper chamber of her house where she planned to hang herself. But she reconsidered, saying to herself, No, people would level this insult against my father. You had only 1 beloved daughter, but she hanged herself because of ill fortune. And thus would I cause my father in his old age to go down to the netherworld laden with sorrow. It is far better for me not to hang myself, but to beg the Lord to have me die, so that I need no longer live to hear such insults. At that time, then, she spread out her hands and, facing the window, poured out her prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord, Merciful God, blessed is your holy and honorable name. Blessed are you in all your works forever. At that very time, the prayer of these two suppliants was heard in the glorious presence of Almighty God. So Raphael was sent to heal them both, to remove the cataracts from Tobit's eyes so that he might see God's sunlight, and to marry Ragel's daughter Sarah to Tobit's son Tobiah, and then drive the wicked demon Asmodeus from her. My goodness! But look how they cried out. Look how they sought the Lord. Look how they turned to him. She tells the whole story to God, but she means it for herself. She said how much she loves God. And so please, Lord, please heal us. Remove the cataracts from Tobit's eyes that he might again see God's sunlight and to marry Ragel's daughter Sarah to Tobit's son Tobiah. My goodness. And then drive the wicked demon Asmodeus from her. She knew how to pray. She knew how to seek the Lord. What do you do when you're in difficult times? Do you go to the Lord? Do you seek his help? Please, brothers and sisters, pray. Psalm 25 tells us, "To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. In you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. No one who waits for you shall be put to shame. Those shall be put to shame who heedlessly break faith. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your kindness are from of old. In your kindness, remember me, because of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his ways." How proud and how arrogant we can become. Look at that. He guides the humble to justice. The humble. He teaches the humble his way. Then God will have compassion on us. Please, brothers and sisters, I want to say, do you be good to the Lord? I don't think that's very exactly the right way to phrase it. But be good in the presence of God. Be good everywhere because God is present everywhere. Give him thanks for creating you. Give him thanks for the blessings of your lives. Thank him. Don't forget them. Thank them. Take time to think. We take a look now at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 18 to 27. Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and put this question to him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brothers. Now there were seven brothers, and the first married a woman and died, leaving no descendants. So the second woman married her and died, leaving no descendants, and the third likewise. And the seven left no descendants. Last of all, the woman also died. At the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "Are you not misled because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God told him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead.' but of the living you are greatly misled. He is our Lord, in life, at the moment of death, and forever in eternity, he is our Lord. My goodness, I cannot imagine the depth of his love for us. I can't. It's way beyond us. We can't see it all, can we? But we know that God is good and watches over us every moment of every day. Remember that. Even as you sleep, he watches over you every day, all day. Trust him. Put all your trust in him. There was a little meditation by St. John Chrysostom that I want to share with you. It reads, "Hardly 7 days in number have passed since we celebrated the holy festival of Pentecost, and again a chorus of martyrs has happened upon us, rather a battle array and squadron of martyrs, which is in no way inferior to the host of angels, which the patriarch Jacob saw, but readily comparable and equal to it. Angels inhabit the heavens, but martyrs do too. The former are ageless and immortal. This the martyrs will possess too. The sky, decorated as it is with the chorus of stars, is not as brilliant as the bodies of the martyrs, decorated with their brilliant chorus of wounds. As a result, because they died, through this, above all, they have the greater share and receive the prizes crowned by death. You have made it a little short in comparison to angels, but crowned it with glory and honor," says David of the nature shared by mankind. "Yet even in this short span, Christ, when he was here, made up for by condemning death. In consequence, let us not grieve because we are mortal, but give thanks because the stadium of martyrdom has been opened to us by death." Do you see how God's wisdom, how the greatest of evils, the ultimate disaster for us, which the devil introduced, I mean death, how this changed into our honor and glory because it led the athletes toward the prizes of martyrdom. The devil introduced it so that it would destroy, and so that when he brought it down to earth, he might cut off of all the hope of salvation. But Christ took it and converted it, and through it led us back to heaven. Think of that. Christ took it, that whole sequence of events, and converted it, and through it led us back to heaven. Their martyrs went to meet their tortures with joy as if they were dancing, and as if they were in a battle, they displayed complete courage and strength and conquered their opposition. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us be like them. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.